Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
How you doing, Phil?
Real good.
Good to be here again with you on Sunday night.
I love being here on Sunday night.
It's awesome.
After an awesome Lord's Day and
spending
some time learning the Word.
Singing Paul Wilbur songs.
Reading
the book of Amos.
I sing them very quietly.
Oh, come on.
You can sing them more loudly than I can.
No.
You can sing them. Sing them if the building needs to be evacuated.
That's odd.
Yeah. Last weekend, I was in Jacksonville, Florida with Paul Wilbur. And
were you the fire marshal?
I'm on the board of his ministry, and we had our annual meeting, and we did an awesome Friday night event at a big church there.
That's what I hear.
And I told Paul that I had my McPherson guitar in the car. I was going to go out and get it. And by the time he composed himself again, I was ready to start. He was laughing so hard he thought he wouldn't be able to sing.
Oh, my.
But anyway.
In all seriousness.
We're not all given the same gifts.
No. So we're not all the same.
We're not all the same, and we're not all in the same place, as you mentioned, I think, last week or the week before.
I know somebody that thinks we're all the same.
Oh.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh. Well, we're not all bald. I'm bald.
Yeah.
Enough of this foolishness. So we started 2 weeks ago a very serious topic, and it kind of has to do with we're in a position where we have to address what's going on in the culture, what's going on in the church around us, how do things measure up to where God wants them to be, where they're supposed to be, according to his word and his, for want of a better word, standards, which come from his law. And, of course, as human beings, we're never going to be able to measure up to that 100% of the time and 100% of the way. But we've come to a time now where we're in a time of moral relativism and all of this thing, and the emphasis on God's word has pretty much disappeared, and the church has come to compromise with the culture and so forth. And if you go back to, if you want to hear the last two radio shows, they're at giftofgraceministries.org. You can catch up on that, because we don't want to redo the last two radio shows, because then...
What was that address again? I got to look this up.
Yeah. Do that on your own time.
Oh, sorry.
Don't play the old radio station. Yeah, don't play the old radio show while we're doing the current radio show.
Okay.
We'll probably, like, short out the system or
something.
Yeah,
that would...
But we ended up... We talked from Isaiah chapter 5 about not substituting light for darkness and sweet for bitter and darkness for light and all that. And then the second half of Romans chapter 1, which I think is so tremendously powerful, about what happens when you worship the creature rather than the creator.
Yeah.
And I hope you read that for your homework, because that's such a powerful, powerful passage. It's Romans 1. It's like 18 till the end. And then at the end of the show, we started talking about the prophet Amos, who's one of my favorite minor prophets.
He's a minor prophet?
Yeah. He's only got nine chapters.
I thought that was like 69 chapters, chapters.
Nine.
Oh, man.
In fact, all 12 minor prophets were originally in one scroll. So Isaiah had his own scroll.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because, you know, he was like a major prophet.
Yeah.
This guy, you know, he's lumped in with 11 other guys, so. Now, remember, just because they're a minor prophet doesn't mean that what they say is not important. It just means they wrote less stuff.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So Amos, you know, at night he'd like to watch TV and kind of relax. And while he was doing that, Isaiah would be on his word processor writing more stuff.
Writing.
Yeah.
And Amos was just there with his plumb line.
Yeah, just
like, looking at the plumb line.
At the plumb line. See, now that's where we left off.
Yeah.
And
see, but Amos got the plumb line, but Isaiah didn't get the plumb line. He got all the messianic prophecies.
Yes, yeah, so. And prophecies about the Gentiles coming into the kingdom.
So, woo. We're not all the same.
No. And as a card-carrying Gentile, I was real happy about that.
You're still a card-carrying Gentile?
Yeah. But I got 3% Jewish DNA.
Haven't you upgraded to the one of Messiah?
No,
I
only have 3% Jewish DNA.
Okay. Well, that's okay.
On my mother's side.
You got 100% Jesus DNA now because you're grafted into the Spirit.
Amen.
So. Got to look on the bright side of things there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, it's good news, you know.
Amen.
It's good news. I had a good friend of mine who was very, 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 very nice man, and he's a very, very observant Muslim, and he wanted me to explain the gospel to him one day, so I told him the gospel one day, and he said, well, there's two problems with what you say. Number one, God cannot have a son, because he's God and we're people. Mm. And number two is I'm the one who's the sinner, so I'm the one who's supposed to be punished. And I said, yes, but that's the good news. You're supposed to be punished, but you're not.
You're not. Exactly. Exactly.
So he didn't believe me, but at least he got to hear it.
That's interesting. That's interesting, though, because you got a chance to share the truth of what the gospel really is, that there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that he laid down his life for us.
Amen.
In atonement. You know, he took the punishment we rightly deserve.
That's right.
Because of God's mercy.
Yes.
And, you know, we can make the gospel into a lot of things. We can make the Bible into a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But the essential element of it is that there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, that's the essential element of it. Without that, there is no good news.
That's right. There is no good news. You know, if Paul says, you know, if we die and that's the end of it, your death is meaningless.
Right.
In fact, your life is meaningless too, because if you die and there's nothing, boy, or if you die and you had to earn your way to heaven, we would all be in huge trouble. Cause I've never met anybody in my lifetime who could pass the test.
Yeah, me neither.
And I certainly couldn't pass the test.
No.
But anyway, so Amos.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to meet him in heaven too, but
I'm hoping to too.
Yeah, but if he asked me about this minor prophet thing, I don't know.
Uh-oh.
He got 9 chapters.
He'll have his plumb line out and say, "Hey Phil, come here."
That's more chapters than he's written more chapters than I have.
That's right.
But anyway,
but he had a lot of boast.
So why don't you read, this is Amos chapter 7. We're just going to briefly go over this. Since we did, you know, part of a show about it last time. Steve, why don't you read verses, 7-9.
This is what the Lord God showed me. He was standing, plummet in hand, by a wall built with a plummet. The Lord God asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" I answered, "A plummet." Then the Lord said, "See, I am laying the plummet in the midst of my people Israel. I will forgive them no longer. The high places of Isaac shall be laid waste, and the sanctuaries of Israel made desolate. And I will attack the house of Jeroboam with the sword."
So God's patience runs out.
Yeah.
And as we are talking about these issues, and these are difficult issues, because it's very easy for us to go along with the culture. Makes our life much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a pastor or a priest or whoever the leader in your church is who says, you know what, we're just going to go along with all the stuff that's going on in the world, and we're just going to, you know, kind of hang out and play some music and then go home and it'll be fun. You know, that's easy.
Yeah.
That's nice.
No friction.
No friction. Everybody's happy. But that's not what we're called to. And in this, you know, this is a rebellious house, and we're going to get to Ezekiel in a minute, who was a major prophet.
Another major prophet?
Yeah, I think he had 48 or 49 chapters. I got to look that up.
Nowhere near Isaiah.
Though. No. But, I mean, he gave it a good shot. But anyway, he likes me, too.
Oh, man. way more than Amos' 9 chapters, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He did that the first day. But you know, this idea that it's a rebellious people. Amos is standing with a rebellious people. Later on, Ezekiel is going to be standing with a rebellious people.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, you know, I've got this plumb line here, and you guys don't, you guys aren't perpendicular to what you're supposed to be doing. You guys are out of square. The building's leaning.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't what it's supposed to be anymore. And it's been this way for a while. And I'm not going to overlook it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pass by it anymore. I'm not going to wink at it. I'm not going to say, oh, maybe we'll wait a while, see if they get better. He basically says, you know, the sanctuaries are going to be laid waste. The sword's going to come against the king. The high places are going to be destroyed. And this is not going to go well for my people here.
Yeah.
Because there comes a time where the judgment comes. You know, in the scripture, it says God is not mocked. He can't just keep overlooking things and saying, oh, I wish you guys wouldn't do that. Oh, you guys, come on. I wish you'd stop doing that. But hey, since you can't stop, it's okay.
Yeah.
There comes a time where the patience is going to be exhausted.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be overlooked, and it's not going to be tolerated any longer. And we don't know when that time's going to be, either for us individually or for the culture in general or for the world in general or a country in general. But we know one thing. It's going to expire at some point. And then we talked about when, as Amos says this to the people that are standing there, which included religious leaders, civil leaders, all the important people in the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
the priest, now the priest is supposed to know better. You know, it points out that the priest of Bethel says something. So this is a Levite priest. Nobody else can be a priest.
Uh-oh.
So the one who is supposed to know the law, is supposed to understand God's revelations, answers this charge by saying, you know what, Amos? We're sick of this crap. Why don't you go back where you came from? We don't want to hear this kind of stuff. Get out of here. Go back to where you were and prophesy over there. Don't come over here bothering us because we got the king over here. We got the sanctuary over here.
We got all the stuff.
We got all the stuff. So listen, we don't want to hear any of this bad news. Mm-hmm. We want to hear good news.
You know, as you're saying this, and we've talked about this, I think, many times on previous programs, that, you know, the voice of the prophet is always one that is met with resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at all the prophets throughout the history of the recorded scripture, the prophets were always met with resistance because, like Jeremiah, oh gosh, you know, here's Jeremiah again. He's just, what a downer.
Yeah,
jeez, you know,
what a bummer.
Dude, you know, come on, man, you're just ruining the whole party here. And if you think about our culture and our society, and not just our day, but, you know, there's a, people want to, they want to, you know, they want to, they just want to do their own thing and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Some in I guess, for lack of better words. But when somebody comes along and says, hey, you know what you're doing isn't right. It's in God's eyes, it's sin. How dare you judge mm-hmm. us? Mm-hmm. Who made you God?
Mm-hmm. Get out of here.
Get out of here. You know, you see this over and over again where God sends a voice crying out in the wilderness to tell his people, come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're going astray. Come back.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, nah, we're fine. We're fine. Come on, man.
Lighten
up. We got the temple. We got all this. Come on. We'll lighten up a little bit. Come on, jeez. And quit ruining the party, you know? And, or they get very angry and go, get out of here. And they exile them or they stone them.
Yes.
Now, Jesus told the Pharisees, you stoned and killed the prophets mm-hmm. that were sent before you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're acting like you wouldn't do the same thing,
yeah.
But you would.
You would.
So, but in this passage here, it says, I will forgive them no longer. I mean, God's, as you said, God's patience runs out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking up, in 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15, where it says that, you know, that God's patience is for our salvation.
Mm.
You know, God gives us the grace and the opportunity to repent mm-hmm. and to turn and follow him and to leave our old or our former self behind. And as we were talking in the beginning about, you know, the good news of the gospel, not only is it that there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus, but when Jesus met anyone in the scriptures and he healed them, he always said one thing to them, go and sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
Because he warned them, if you did, your condition might be even far worse the second time around mm-hmm. than it was right now.
Mm-hmm.
So sin has consequence. Sin has consequence on our soul. It has consequence on our spiritual life with Christ. It has consequence on our physical being. It deteriorates
mm-hmm.
us. And, you know, when we come to that new life in Christ, we're to put on Christ.
Amen.
We're to be one with him. We're mm-hmm. to be in him.
Mm-hmm.
Not apart from him, not, okay, well, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, or I made my confirmation, or I said the sinner's prayer, whatever, you know, whatever you did,
uh-huh.
you're now a new creation in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You share in the same anointing that Christ shared, that the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus in the Jordan, we share in that as a believer in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So how do we put on this new, how do we put on the light of Christ and become a new creation
mm-hmm.
in him?
Mm-hmm.
And the key is in him. You know, I was thinking about something that our good friend Paul Wilbert was talking to us about one time when we were going to one of his concerts, and that was, he was underlining in the passages of scripture everywhere it said in him,
mm.
in him. And there were so many passages mm-hmm. that said in him,
mm-hmm.
in Jesus. And that's really what it's all about. It's
yeah.
becoming, you know, we're to become one with him.
Yes.
And to, you know, to reflect him.
And not on our own efforts.
Yeah.
And interestingly, like many of you listening probably know, I mean, all three of you that are listening know me and know Steve, and you know that we didn't used to do this kind of stuff all our lives.
No.
And, you know, like I can point to any number of people that I knew 30 years ago that say to me now, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. You didn't used to be like this.
Yeah.
Well, because I didn't used to be like this. And when Amos is confronted by this priest who says, hey, just get out of here. I've had it with this. We don't want to hear this anymore. He says, look, I wasn't the prophet. I wasn't the son of a prophet. I was taking care of sheep. I was taking care of sycamore trees. And then the Lord called me and said, go prophesy to my people Israel. You know, I didn't ask for this. I didn't, when I was a little boy, I didn't say, hey, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a prophet.
Yeah.
Even though a minor one, I want to be a prophet. No, he says, I was doing something else. I had a job.
Mm-hmm.
And now I hear a voice that says, go prophesy to my people Israel. And so here I am. You don't like what I'm saying, but I'm doing what I was told.
Yeah. Now, how many people receive that call of God in our culture today, but don't respond to it?
Exactly.
Because they think, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a priest. I haven't been to a Bible college. Mm-hmm. I haven't done this.
Right.
I haven't done that. If God will use whom he chooses, and he will qualify whom he chooses, because in serving the Lord, it's all about doing what he's asking you to do. Nothing more, nothing less, you know, because Jesus tells his disciples, you know, you're unprofitable servants. You're only doing what I'm, you know, what you're being asked to do.
Yeah.
So this is a great example of somebody who is maybe in the world's eyes, a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And God calls and says, go and speak to my people.
Mm-hmm.
Because he uses the lowly to,
yes.
you know, confront the pride, the pride of those who were in high places.
And it doesn't matter what your background is.
No.
You get a call. We're unlikely to be the people giving the word, but here we are giving the word.
Yeah.
And here's another guy who gives the word.
Woo!
Paul Remember, Wilbur. Check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
tents of the righteous of the Lord. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Man, we haven't heard that in a long time.
Are you
going to
play that at One of Messiah next Friday?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. We got to get some banner people there.
Yeah, we need
flags and banners.
What about the Davidic army from Youngstown?
Ooh, yeah.
Are you guys listening down there?
Should give Jack Simon a call.
You guys listening on 1440 AM there in Warren?
It might be.
That's Steve's neck of the woods.
Yeah, somewhere.
I don't know that much about Warren.
Somewhere downward.
I know about the church at Warren, but it's not really in Warren.
I think it's in Cortland.
I think it's in Cortland. Why isn't it called the church in Cortland?
I don't know. Let's not get into that. That's a long.
I asked Pastor Dave about that. He said it was a long story.
Yeah, it's a really long story. So anyway. I don't think we have enough time left on the show to discuss it, really. So we better just let it go.
But so now we had this sort of summary of the end of Amos chapter 7, and we're going to go to another prophet now.
Obadiah?
No.
Oh, darn.
Who is Ezekiel.
Oh, Ezekiel.
A major prophet. I think he's got 48 chapters. But we're going to go to chapter 2. And here is another prophet who was sent. He wasn't planning on being sent. He wasn't planning on being in the historical setting that he was in. He probably just wanted to live his life and get a job and, you know, get married, have a couple of kids, have a house in the suburbs, have a nice car. Mm-hmm. But he ended up being Ezekiel, the prophet. Just like Amos was perfectly happy taking care of the sheep and taking care of the trees.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he hears, go prophesy to my people, Israel. And he says, who, me?
What?
Me? I'm not a prophet. He even says, I'm not a prophet. But, and like you pointed out at the end of the last segment, that's where a lot of us are.
Yeah, it really is. I mean... If you minister, you know, for a number of years or just a certain amount of time, I think you can usually come to understand that the most people don't see themselves as God sees them.
Yeah.
And that's the whole, you know, that's one of the biggest challenges, I think, within the church for raising up people who will serve the Lord faithfully is that I never saw myself as a music minister in the church or even, you know, a psalmist or a composer.
I never did either.
I know. And you never saw yourself as that?
No.
That's amazing. See, well, let's not digress. So, but most people don't see themselves as, oh gosh, I can never do this.
Right.
Oh gosh. But usually they see somebody else and go, oh man, your faith has always been so strong and I was always inspired by this or that. And the person sometimes thinks, wow, you saw all that? So usually it's easier for us to see something else in the other person than mm-hmm. it is for us to see it in ourselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But God sees us as he created us to be.
Yeah.
And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, and even if you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to understand that God created you in his image and his likeness, but he created you for a purpose mm-hmm. and a mission.
Yes.
And there is importance in that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Great importance in that.
Yes.
So Ezekiel here gets called
Woo.
And he answers the call. And Woo. that's the important thing is that you answer the call.
Yeah. And in a tough situation, he's caught up in the exile.
Oh man.
We're going to get. Why don't you read
what a Steve, time to be called.
Chapter 2. Do you have a chapter 2 in your Bible?
I do. Hey. Yeah, there it is.
Why don't
yeah.
you read like 1 through 8?
Okay. The voice said to me, Son of man, stand up. I wish to speak to you. As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard the one who was speaking say to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites. A nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. Their children are bold of face and stubborn of heart. To them I am sending you. You shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they hear or resist, they are a rebellious house. They shall know that a prophet has been among them. But as for you, son of man, do not fear them or their words. Do not fear even though there are briars or thorns and you sit among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or be terrified by their looks, for they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they hear or resist, because they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear me when I speak to you, and do not rebel like this rebellious house. Oof. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you.
Woo.
Wow.
Stop there for a second. Wow. Look how many times the word rebellious is used. Mm. Like, I wasn't counting, but boy, it must be 5 or 6 times. Rebellious, rebellious, rebellious.
You sure this wasn't written like just the other day?
Yeah. It pretty much sounds like it.
Yeah.
Rebellious, rebellious. Don't you be rebellious. Rebellious, rebellious. I mean, this shows you. The patience of God is running out.
Mm-hmm.
This is a rebellious house. You're going to go.
Yeah.
You know, and like we've been talking about, first of all, he's called Son of Man. Now, Jesus called himself the Son of Man, capital S, capital M. And, of course, he spoke about himself a lot as Son of Man.
Right.
And he was, you know, showing both of his natures. But here, he's calling Ezekiel Son of Man because here's this ordinary man who's a son of Adam, a son of Isaac, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't know what tribe he was in, but, you know, he's basically a human being that was made out of clay, but God's picking him as his messenger.
Right.
You know, you may be just some lowly guy who's sweeping the floor at night in some building, but you could be called mm-hmm. to do something. Here's a lowly guy, a son of man, a son of the earth, let's say, who's called to be God's messenger.
Right.
But if you notice what happens is the Spirit comes into him and like gets him on his feet.
Yeah.
God doesn't say to him, you know what, Ezekiel, you are so awesome. I've been watching you for a while. I've never seen anybody so awesome, and I've never seen anybody so smart as you are, and you're really good looking, and you got all these, you know, I'm glad I created you to be so awesome.
Yeah.
But, no, you see right away that he's called as a simple guy, and he points out the Spirit came into me. Now, this is an Old Testament book. So when people say, oh, you know, the Old Testament doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit very much. Well, he talks about the Holy Spirit a lot.
Too. There it is.
Yeah. So here he is. The Spirit comes into him, and it says, he got me on my feet. So in other words, when you get up on your feet, that means you're like ready for action.
Yep.
You know, he had maybe been sitting around, you know, maybe he was just kind of, you know, going about his normal life. But now, not because he's so powerful, the Spirit comes into him, stands him up, and he's ready to do what his mission is. Mm-hmm. He's ready to go to the rebellious people, the rebellious house. And he says, I'm sending you to these rebellious people that are breaking my law.
Yeah.
I mean, the place is a disaster. The priesthood's a disaster. The leaders are a disaster. The people are going any which way. And, you know, it's a lot of people think, well, you know, God's not going to really know what we're doing here. Or, you know, if I do this in the middle of the night in a dark room, I mean, who's going to know? You know, it's like, of course, in our culture, nobody cares.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, who's going to know?
They're not even in a dark room anymore doing things.
That's right.
It's just right out in the open.
Yeah.
You know, their children are bold-faced and stubborn of heart. Pride is a very interesting thing, you know, because when somebody gets caught up in it, mm-hmm. it just takes on all kind of forms of ugliness, if you will.
Exactly.
You know, what you just said. I was going to say something. You just said something about, you know, like doing something and nobody's going to know. So, you know, I think this is okay because God can't see me.
Yeah, who's going to see me now? It's the middle of the night. It's dark. Nobody around.
And even if a person doesn't see, and this is something that is so prevalent in our culture today, that I encounter with so many people, is they say one thing, but in their heart there's another thing going on. And that's not what God calls us to. If there's not pure charity in your heart, where you actually have respect for another person,
mm-hmm.
It can be problematic because in our culture we hear the word tolerance a lot nowadays. Mm-hmm. We want to be tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tolerating somebody doesn't teach you really to respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And it really can lead to a lot of ill feelings towards the other person because I'm tolerating. I'm really sick of hearing that. I can't take that anymore. And what happens is the person doesn't respect the person for who they are or what they, I don't want to say what they believe. Sometimes if somebody believes something that's not true, you know, you still have to respect the person even mm-hmm. though they might hold an opinion that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
But tolerating that person doesn't do that person any justice as a person that's created in the image and likeness of God. Whether they are following God or not, they're still created in the image and likeness of God.
Mm-hmm.
So having respect for the person is much healthier because if we respect the person, then we can begin to love that person and probably pray for that person mm-hmm. if they need prayer.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just tolerating somebody and go, oh gosh, I can't wait until I get away from this person because I can't take it anymore. Well, that's not doing anything for them. Yeah. It's not doing anything for me. And it's not really what God calls us to as a disciple. And that is to pray for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for your enemies. Bless those who persecute you.
Mm-hmm.
But going to Ezekiel here, he is called to stand before a rebellious people who are bold-faced and stubborn of heart, and he is to speak God's word in truth to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a tall order.
Yes.
Don't worry about what they're going to look like. Don't worry about how they're going to react to you. Don't worry about if they receive
don't
it or not.
Don't be afraid of them.
Don't be afraid of them. Exactly. Don't be afraid of them. You speak my word.
Yeah.
And that is what God calls us to do as disciples is, you know, we're all called at some time to speak a word of truth that might not be the popular thing to say.
Yeah. And when I read that, when I read this passage the other day and I was starting to make notes, I was really hit by this part about, you know, you're surrounded by thorns and, you know, living with scorpions. And I think, you know, this is where we live now.
Yeah.
You go out and start saying, you know, thus says the Lord, man, you're going to be surrounded by scorpions and thorns and people are going to come at you like you're some kind of crazy person.
Well, yeah. And it's much easier. It's much easier to just follow your friends and be popular in a group of people than it is to follow the Lord and speak a word of truth.
And he tells Ezekiel, these people, you're not going to be afraid of them, but these people are going to say horrible words to you. Like, we understand that. You're going to be called names. You're going to be criticized. You're going to be laughed at. And he tells Ezekiel, don't be afraid of their words. Don't be dismayed by their looks, because they're a rebellious house.
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to go and preach the word and say, thus says the Lord. And we don't have to say, thus says the Lord, because everybody will think you're a kook. But the thing is this is what God says.
Yeah.
And people are going to say any manner of horrible stuff to you.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to be afraid.
Right.
You're not supposed to worry about how they're looking at you. You're supposed to say the word.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of chapter one, you know, Ezekiel's had this vision of God, and it says he falls on his face. And this is when this starts, where he said, the Spirit got me up on my feet, because, you know, it was nice to be down on your face in awe of what you were seeing and praying to God and having this awesome experience. But then it's time to get up on your feet, because there's work to do. And he goes to this rebellious people that, you know, they think that they're doing okay. Like, rebellious people generally think they're doing okay.
Yeah.
And this, you know, as we pointed out a couple of weeks ago, also applies to the churches that have just said, well, you know, what can we do? We'll just kind of go along with it. But, you know, God's perfectly acquainted with their rebellion. It's not going to be a secret to him.
Right.
And I think it's cool when he says, you know, whether these people listen to you or they don't listen to you, they're going to know that there was a prophet among them. In other words, you're going to go there and you're going to say something. It's going to have the power and the authority of God behind what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to know that you're not just, you know, some average Joe who's making some political opinion or, you know, some thing off the top of your head.
Right.
You're going to be saying something with power.
Yeah.
And whether they believe it or not, they're going to know there was some power and authority there.
Well, therein lies a good teaching moment, because sometimes we're called to speak a word of truth to a person, or maybe to people, or to a group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually based on, well, how was it received?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Was it received, you know, positively? Mm-hmm. Now, you can speak a word of truth to a room of people, and if they're rebellious and stubborn of heart, they're going to go, how dare that person talk to me that way?
Mm-hmm.
And if the leaders are of the same opinion, well, then you can't base what God's giving you on that, by the result of what it brings there. Because if the people are rebellious and stubborn of heart, the word of God that falls upon their heart is going to fall on the, you know, it's not on the good and fertile soil. It's on the rocky path. It's on the hard rock, and it just withers away. So whether the word is received, I don't want to say this, whether the word is received or not is not the point. God's telling him, you give it.
Right.
I'm giving it to you. You're giving it to them.
And that's the authority.
That's the authority. And when he speaks, God is basically speaking through him. Mm-hmm. There's going to be an anointing on that word.
Right.
Because there's the authority that has been given by God.
Exactly. This is why a lot of people, when they heard Jesus, said, bueno, he talks with a lot more authority than the scribes and the Pharisees
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And it's, ooh. How did Paul Wilbur get in here?
He must have come in the back door.
Oh, well, let's listen to this. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back. Yaakov,
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace and The Word 1220.
Oh, that's a good song.
That's awesome. I think I'm going to do a teaching on One on Messiah about that in a week or two.
Ooh, I'm going to have to
maybe you
that.
Could play this song.
Maybe.
That song. Anyway, so back to Mr. Ezekiel. So they're going to know when you talk. You know, the prophets always started out the important stuff by saying, thus saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they spoke King James English, the apostles.
Oh, yeah.
And the prophets.
Oh, yeah. They're big King James.
They went.
They were down with that.
Yeah, they were down with that. But they're going to know that there's a message from God's authority, and they're going to know that something about this has power, even if they don't believe it, even if they don't accept it, they're going to be affected by it.
Yes.
And it's going to come to a point where everyone has to make a decision. And the decision is, yes, I believe this, and I believe that God is saying this through this sort of sorry-looking guy, and I'm going to change my life, and I'm going to really, you know, contemplate this and think about it, or you're going to say, hey, listen, I don't know who this guy thinks he is, but I don't know why he's talking like this, because everything's going along just fine. And the last thing we need is this guy causing trouble. And although he was in a lot of trouble at the time, but you know, you have to make a decision, and your decision can bring a life or death to the person.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual life or death to the person.
Right.
Like Paul says in 2 Corinthians, quite a while later, like 500 to 600 years later, Paul writes that we bring life and death to people. I mean, this is how powerful the message is. Because you go to someone and you tell them that their eternal destiny depends on what Jesus did on the cross and what you think happened there.
Right.
And you kind of give an explanation about it, then that person has to make a decision. He can say, oh man, that's crazy talk. I don't want to listen to this. Or he might say, wow, you know, I never thought about that before. I never realized what my life was really like. And boy, you better, and I'm going to repent and I'm going to. So you bring life or death
right
to people based on what you say. So it's the word's very powerful.
Right.
And so when he says, I'm sending you to a rebellious group, he sends us to rebellious groups
every day.
There's a rebellious group that you're going to have some interaction with, that the Spirit's going to get you up on your feet so that you can say something, and you're going to be able to confront, you're going to be able to preach what he wants you to say. And we don't like to do that because we don't want to be criticized. We don't want somebody at work to say, man, that guy's nuts. You know, I used to think he was a nice guy, but this is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. God says, you know what? You're going to be among thorns and briars, and you're going to be like living with, it's going to be like living with scorpions.
Yeah.
But don't worry about that.
Yeah.
You still have to do it, because when I send my word to them, I'm not sending it to them to make them like you. It's not about you.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, Ezekiel's kind of a cool guy because look what he told us. If they say, hey, we hate Ezekiel, and Ezekiel says, oh man, now they hate me. God doesn't care that they hate Ezekiel. He's supposed to give the message.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about Isaiah 55, and I'm going to read from Isaiah 55, where it basically starts at verse 2. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what does not satisfy? Only listen to me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Pay attention and come to me. Listen that you may have life. Mm-hmm. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, the steadfast loyalty promised to David. As I made him a witness to peoples, a leader and commander of peoples, so shall you summon a nation you knew not, and a nation that knew you not shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, who has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and sinners their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord to find mercy, to our God who is generous in forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Yet just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down, and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall do what pleases me, achieving the end for which I sent it.
Whew.
I mean, when you're talking about Ezekiel the prophet, or any prophet, whether they're a major prophet or a minor prophet, a little guy or a big guy, you know, one chapter or whatever, the purpose of it is that God's word goes forth and it accomplishes his will. It does not return to him void, but accomplishes the will for which he sent it. So if somebody doesn't receive the message, it doesn't mean the message isn't true.
Right.
If someone, you know, gives the message and it's rejected, it doesn't mean that the message isn't true or doesn't have authority. It has authority. And it will accomplish in due time the will for which God had sent it. And so this is the importance of speaking that word faithfully and truthfully as a prophet, as a bearer, as an ambassador for Christ.
Yes.
That's what we're supposed to do.
That's in 2 Corinthians 2.
Yeah.
Chapter 5.
Ooh.
Woo.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah. And God tells Ezekiel, you know, don't dwell on the opposition you're going to get. I mean, a lot of us dwell on the opposition.
Oh, yeah.
Because we don't want to hear it. Yeah. We want people to like us. We don't want people to think we're different or we're odd. But, you know, that can get you caught up in a snare.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Because, this rebellion he talks about, the opposition he talks about, you know, this is because of the fall. I mean, this is what we're like in our inner beings. And people are going to react that way to a lot of things you tell them. And they're going to be briars and thorns and scorpions. But God doesn't want Ezekiel and therefore us as well to be sidetracked by that stuff or to be afraid of that stuff. Because what he's basically saying is, hey, you're still going to preach my word to them. No matter what their reaction is, you're still going to preach my word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you talk about the parable of the sower. You know, it's the word goes out and it's different things happen depending where it falls. But Ezekiel has to be faithful to saying the word, to giving the news, just like we have to be. Because we're not called to say our own opinion about something. You know, we can say, you know what, God has a plan of salvation, but let me tell you what I think of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got a better plan.
Well, that's the big issue that we have. That's the big challenge we have in our culture today, is a lot of people give their opinion about things.
Right. Yeah.
And they're not really speaking God's word. They're just giving their opinion.
Exactly.
And it's just flooding the airways.
Yeah.
With a bunch of nonsense.
Exactly. And there's, you know, sometimes when I'm watching one of the Christian TV stations on the cable, I just cringe at some of the stuff people say.
Yeah.
It's like, where's he getting that? But anyway, don't tell me the show.
Oh, no. Do you still have more notes?
Oh, lots of notes.
Oh, gosh.
This is going to turn into a bunch more shows. Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
That is what we're here for.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. And we just pray that as God sent forth Ezekiel and Amos and Jeremiah and the other prophets, that you would have the courage and that God would give you the grace to speak his word of truth to those who are near to you, that there is forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.